Good morning again. So glad we can be here this resurrection morn to celebrate that Jesus got up from the grave. This is the thing that makes Christianity special and different in many ways. The cross and resurrection, a death that seemed like an end, actually turned into an open door because Jesus, raised from the dead, is triumphant and king to us. And just for emphasis' sake, can I reread where we'll be focusing this morning in our passage, Mark 16, 5 and 6, the response of these women to coming to an empty tomb. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed." When you're afraid, doesn't it help when somebody tells you not to be afraid? "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." You get this picture of how the cross and resurrection, how they come together. And Tim Keller has said that the cross and the resurrection together, and only together, bring the future new creation, the omnipotent power through which God renews and heals the entire world into our present. One of the reasons we come this morning is that God is active now. His resurrecting power is active now. He lifts and raises hearts, and one day he will fully and finally eradicate all sin. And we have the hope of eternal life and presence with him because of his great work in the resurrection. It was a funeral. As a matter of fact, the funeral was over. The procession had begun towards the graveyard. The pallbearers were carrying an only son. That son had passed. The mom, she was forlorn because not only had she lost her son, she had also earlier lost her husband. And in grief, as she and her town walked towards the grave site to bury her son, a common-looking man stepped forward. He walked over to her and he said, "Do not weep." And then turning to the funeral pyre, he looked towards the son and he said to the son, "I say to you, arise." And the son sat up. And the son spoke. In those moments, "do not weep" must have seemed like the cruelest of words until he spoke those words, "arise." And the son did arise. That's the picture of Jesus interacting with the widow at Nain in Luke chapter 7. There you get this picture of Jesus interrupting death. As a matter of fact, if you look closely at the Gospels, every funeral that Jesus happened upon, he interrupted. He interrupted death, which was a prelude to the great interruption of death, which we call the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus laid in a grave. Disciples distraught on the inside, only by the power of God to be raised up to life forevermore. He who was forever lives forever, overcoming the grave. The truth is, we fear death. That doesn't always come out just in the way we talk about death, but even the way we live life. We're looking for that miracle skin cream that makes us look a little younger. We're always working on the better diet or the fitter exercise routine. We're often thinking about what comes next and how we can minimize the stress and struggles that steals our years and brings destruction to our souls. Death, we all have to deal with it. But what I want you to see this morning is that this interruption of death, this resurrection of Christ, this permanent work of our Savior is truly hope for Sunday's people. On Friday, they nailed him to a cross. He actually died quickly, carrying the burden and sin, the world upon his shoulders. And Saturday, they laid him in a tomb. But on Sunday, he rose from the dead. Gave new meaning to Sunday, didn't he? For ages, the people of God had worshiped on the Sabbath, the last day of the week. But on Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave. And we become Sunday's people. We become the people of new life, resurrection life, because life is to be had by faith in Jesus, the resurrected one. This morning, what I want you to see is that we are Sunday's people, and death will not have the final word. When we talk about Sunday, when we talk about resurrection, we come to celebrate the life-giving work of Jesus, and that's something we do week by week. But in this season, we particularly focus on the power of resurrection. These are the words that make all the difference. He is risen. He is risen indeed. By his death, our death is taken care of. At least the curse of death is taken care of. And by his life, our life is assured as we receive him by faith. The tomb is empty. The Savior is risen. And this is our hope. Now you see, as they went to the tomb that day, these ladies, as they went to the tomb, they went with distraught hearts, and they were distraught because they had no sense of that resurrection in that moment. It seemed as though evil had prevailed and righteousness had been destroyed. You put someone on a cross, you lay them in a tomb, you don't come back from that, do you? But Jesus did. Jesus did. And so this morning, I want you to see three things with me. I want you to see resurrection and realization. There's a moment of realization for these ladies. I want you to see resurrection and restoration. That's the goal of our resurrection Savior. And then resurrection and redemption, what God desires to bring to us. Resurrection and realization. Their hearts were filled with doubt. They were filled with sadness. But as you make your way through the text, what you understand is that these women had no thought of resurrection as they went to attend to Jesus at the tomb. As we set the scene, what you see is that these women, these three women, Mary, Mary, and Salome, they had gotten up the break of dawn. And they were making their way, having bought spices, they were making their way to attend to Jesus. You see, Jesus, he had nothing. He had been put in a borrowed tomb. And in that borrowed tomb, he had been hastily prepared because according to the Jewish law, you weren't allowed to do that kind of work. The work of preparation for a funeral was not allowed to be done on the Sabbath. And since the Sabbath ran from Friday evening to Saturday evening, Jesus hadn't been fully taken care of in the burial cloths and the spices that would have been applied. And so these women, they go for love's sake. Because they loved this man. They had love, but not understanding. The rush job, they wanted to make sure that it was done well. And so here are the original Spice Girls. The Spice Girls want to take the spices. They want to take care of Jesus. They want to make sure that he is interred rightly. And in that, there's the heart-stricken way. There's the desperation. There's the helplessness, isn't there? In verse 4, they already almost made it there, it appears, before they realize, how are we going to get into the tomb? The stone before the tomb, it was very large. Now, the reason there were stones in front of tombs were to keep robbers out, to keep snoopers out. But also for the Romans, it was to make sure that to keep Jesus in. There was a desire to make sure that Jesus stayed in the tomb. Pilate had actually posted guards there, we're told in other Gospels. But by the time they get there, the stone is rolled away. Yet no realization. Resurrection was not a reality for them. Even though Jesus had foretold it, it was not a reality for these women. And we find there again, as they enter the tomb, they find this young man, an angel, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed, we're told. And the angel says, "Do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed." Now, how would you translate that word alarmed? Well, just put it in the common way of thinking today. They were scared out of their skin. They were scared when they saw this moment. What has happened? The grief that had overtaken now turns into fear because Jesus is not there. And he has to explain to them that they have no need to be alarmed. Why? Because this empty tomb, this open tomb, is about discovery. They need to open their eyes. And resurrection demands for you, each of you, and for me this morning, that we come and we open our eyes. Whether you've heard this story all your life or whether you're hearing it for the first time, the call to the open tomb this Resurrection Sunday is a call to open our eyes and truly see. The man who had been placed upon the cross, the very Son of God, the scriptures proclaim. The God-man had gotten up. Death could not hold him down. And our eyes need to be open to that truth. Open to the realities that Jesus lives forevermore. He is alive. That's what we open our eyes to today and every day. Jesus is alive. The Apostle John, when he was sent to Patmos, when he was exiled to Patmos, he met Jesus, this resurrected Lord. And we find in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Jesus visiting in a vision, visiting John. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. He is risen, and death's power is defeated, because Jesus' victory is sure. This morning, at the heart of good news, at the heart of gospel, is this: he is alive. He is risen, and to that we open our eyes. Why? Because he holds power over death. We need Sunday, Resurrection Day, just like this day. We need it week by week, don't we? Why? Because the world sucks the life out of us. Death is at work in our members. It sucks the life out of us. This week, you were frustrated about something, I bet. This week, something broke on you that you didn't need to break at the time it broke. It might have been a broken promise or a broken relationship, a friendship. Something broke in the house. Something broke in your body. We need this constant recharge of the gospel, resurrection truth, empowerment by Christ. But we must open our eyes. Every night I plug my phone up because every day it starts at 100% and by night, it's always somewhere between 0% and 10%. Yeah, I use my phone a lot in a day. But that charge brings newness, strength to my phone. In many ways, that's what Sunday, we come to have our eyes open Sunday by Sunday. Why? Because we celebrate the resurrection today and every Sunday. But it is about this recharge to the soul, that which is broken in our soul, which is broken in our life, which is broken in the world around us, needs the answer of Christ and Him crucified, risen, and coming again. Open eyes. Maybe that's what you need most this morning, is to have your eyes focused not on the problems, struggles, and heartaches of this life, but on the resurrected Christ who has promised life to us. Why do I know that? Because not only is it a reality for us, resurrection and realization, these women need a new realization, it's also resurrection and restoration. At the heart of resurrection is this goal of restoring relationship and life to God's people. People don't just get up from the grave, do they? No, we need restoration. But Jesus did. People don't get up from the grave, but Jesus did, and he is risen. The resurrection was intended to be the great display of God's victory over the grave. And that is our victory too. I've had the privilege of being by many deathbeds and doing many funerals. But two that made the biggest impression on me probably were my mom and my father. In January of 2011, did the funeral and then the graveside of my mother. I remember that day. It was January. It was bitterly cold. I remember standing by the grave, heart-stricken but hopeful. Last year, many of you know, my father passed in July. So July of 2021, and I did his funeral here, and then we took and interned him in Tennessee next to mom. And that morning, even though it was a July morning, was actually cool and crisp. And I remember both of those mornings, or both of those days, feeling sadness in my heart and yet joy. Sadness and yet joy. Because there was hope. Hope of restoration. Hope that God would make good on his word. And you get it here in the text, don't you? Hear the words of the angel. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus. And notice there, he has risen. He is not here. He has overcome the grave. And that is our hope, right? That's what Paul tells us is the promise of the resurrection of Jesus applied to the coming resurrection of believers. Once they are with him, this desire to know him spiritually, we are committed to him. He is committed to us. By faith, we receive him, and newness of life is ours. What does Paul say about the grave? 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to see this morning, and this is what the women needed to see this morning. Jesus' victory becomes our victory. Because he conquered the grave, we have hopes of conquering the grave. Because he is more than a conqueror, we have hopes of being more than a conqueror. Because restoration came to him, it will come to those who are in him. As a matter of fact, that's what Paul says again in Romans 8, 37, this great goal of a kingdom that cannot be overthrown. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The goal of his resurrection. Not only that Jesus would rise, the greatest feat of all human history, but that he would promise to raise a people with him. If you're here this morning and you're considering the claims of Christ, thank you for being here. I'm glad you're here. But can I speak to you for just a moment? Can I tell you that you'll never truly understand Christianity unless you understand two things. The cross, sin separates us from Christ and God, and sin must be dealt with. It's dealt with in the cross and the resurrection. The success of Christianity rests on three key words. He is risen. He is risen. And we come with this hope of resurrection that brings restoration because of these three words. When Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, his dear friend, after he had wept, he spoke and said, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Here is our hope this morning, a resurrection that not only opens our eyes but opens our minds to a newness of life. Why? Because Jesus has undone death, and we need to be undone before Jesus. Our minds are open to him. Why? Because Jesus has undone death. I mean, death seems so final, doesn't it? It seems so harsh. It seems so unnatural, and it is. But Jesus has undone death. And we, these women, they were undone in the presence of this angel because of the work of God, and we should be undone too. This is one we can hope in. This is one we can believe in. This is one we can find our security in. Why? Because Jesus has triumphed over the grave. And our minds are opened to the beauty of Him. He is the prototype of resurrection. And we are called to come to see and believe. Undoing death, He is doing that right now in the hearts of people who trust Him. And finally, He will do that when He comes again and put sin and death in its place, because He holds the keys to death and to Hades. We can trust Him. And that restoration is because of redemption, isn't it? Notice, the goal of resurrection is restoration of His people, but the banner of that resurrection is this way of redemption, resurrection and redemption. And all who are confronted with the gospel must have a paradigm shift. We don't get ourselves to God. Jesus provides the way to God. Redemption. When we talk about redemption, this is good news. And it's the good news of the perfect life, sacrificial death, and powerful resurrection of our Lord. And you see that back in verse 6, don't you? Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. We come to seek Jesus. Why? Because He is the resurrected one. He was crucified, but He has overcome that death and crucifixion. Redemption is ours. He came to serve, not to be served. That's a key verse for us here at Westminster, isn't it? For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Bought out of sin and death, we have life forevermore. Isn't it interesting? These women, they came that Sunday morning at the break of dawn. They came for what purpose? To serve Jesus. They came to serve. And in turn, what we find is they came to serve Jesus in His death, but He came to serve them through His death unto life. He was risen. The redeeming power of the love of Christ, the bondage of sin and the barrier of death broken, because He paid the price. And He is our peace and victory. He took death's penalty for you. He took death's life sentence for you so that you could take His life sentence for an eternity. Overcoming our sin, He gives us life. Redemption that will in turn bring restoration with the new realization of our heart of the reality of a risen Christ who we come and see and believe because we have open eyes and open minds to the work of Christ and because we have open hearts to the truths of Christ. Some of you may be skeptical, and we welcome skeptics here. You aren't alone. In the Bible, even some of Jesus' own disciples struggled. We're told when He ascended in Matthew 28, when they saw Him, they had seen Him, and as He was ascending, some doubted. My favorite doubt story comes in John 20, when one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas is told of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that meant for the disciples. And Thomas himself says, I won't believe. Unless I can touch His hands and touch His sides, I won't believe. And 8 days later, we're told in John 20, who shows up? Jesus shows up and says, peace be with you. And by the way, Thomas, here, see here my hands. See my side. Reflecting on that this week, the thing that struck me most this week was the words of Jesus when He said to Thomas, do not disbelieve, only believe. And Thomas, the doubter, his response, my Lord and my God. He had seen the resurrected Savior. Now, Thomas always gets counted for his doubts. But actually, we might ought to count him for his faith, because that declaration of Lord and God led him all the way, we're told in history, to India with the redemption of Jesus on his lips and the restoration hope of the reality of the resurrection in his heart. You're Sunday people. That means we bask in the beauty of being showered with resurrection truth, and we go into the world with the hopes of resurrection truth, because Sunday people have been graced with new life. Jesus is the giver of life. And this gift is like none other. I don't know what you think the best gift is, but I can tell you the lasting best gift comes in a resurrected Savior who gave himself for you and delights to bring you near that you may live eternally with him. It's about a destination. The resurrection is a journey, but it's about a destination, isn't it? About our hearts resting in his hearts, our life being found in him by faith. Through repenting of our sins and turning to rest in him, we have this hope of destination that will last forever. You know, the most luxurious flight in the world is said to be a flight from New York to Mumbai. I always have a little hard time saying this airlines, but I have some who knew Arabic in here, so I'll do my best, okay? Etihad, which is the Etihad, which is the national airline for the United Arab Emirates. You can fly from New York to Mumbai one way, and as you get on the plane, you will have your own suite. They call it the penthouse in the sky. You have your own suite. You can sit there. You have your own butler, your personal chef, a double bed with Italian sheets that comes with a turndown surface. When you're ready to go to bed, they'll come and turn down the bed for you. There is food in abundance, whatever you want, whenever you want it, as much as you want, all along the way. There's a flat screen TV on a nice, in front of a leather couch that you can watch movies as much as you want. It is this setting that is opulent. The most luxurious flight. It only cost about $40,000 one way. One person, one way, $40,000. The journey. They made it about the journey, haven't they? When you're done with the flight, right before you land, you can take a shower. They'll give you reservations for the nicest dinner place in Mumbai. They've got it set up. You know, I would take that trip if anybody wants to pay. I don't want to pay. I would take that trip one time. That'd be all right. But, you know, I don't want to be on that plane forever. As nice as that is, that journey, you want the journey to come to the end. I know you might think, if I could just have that lifestyle, it would all be worth it, but it's not. Every journey, every good journey needs a conclusion. Every good journey needs a destination. And in this, the resurrection is about destination. It's about those who have realized the power of a resurrected Savior, who have found their restoration by faith in the Son of God, who are redeemed because he was crucified, past tense. And now we seek him who is life forevermore. That's the goal. And the heart of our celebration this resurrection day. Jesus, the resurrected Lord, meets us here. And he will see us home. The journey, the best of journeys, is in Christ. And to that eternal place where we will be with him. At his feet, in beautiful worship for all eternity. Come and seek this resurrected Lord. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, we come acknowledging that all we can say is like what Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." You are the true one, the all-powerful one, the resurrected one. And by faith we come and seek because of the power, the good news that death is overcome. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Draw us near and hold us fast in that truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.